Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Benyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Yesterday in Colorado on KOA Radio. Now, KOA is the Rush Limbaugh affiliate for the Rocky Mountain region. They're a 50,000-watt AM station. Now, the station we're on, Bob Benyart Live, KLTT, we're a 55,000-watt station. And the lower on the dial, the further the signal goes at the same wattage. So 50,000 watts at 850 goes far because it's 50,000, but not nearly as far as 50,000 watts at 670 AM, which is way lower on the dial. And that's why it's an honor to be on America's number one most powerful Christian radio station. In fact, one of the top 10 most powerful stations of all formats. KLTT. So, one of the more popular shows on KOA is Mike Rosen's weekday morning talk show. And yesterday on the air, he was talking about the Amish school murders. And I missed most of it, but just caught a little bit at the end of his program where he had Christians calling in. And Mike Rosen's not a Christian. I think ethnically he's Jewish. But he seems to come across as atheist or agnostic. Certainly believes in evolution, thinks abortion is fine, homosexuality is fine, and on and on and on. So he describes himself as libertarian, which is an immoral conservative, if you want to look at it in a thumbnail sketch. So he's against Judeo-Christian morality as enforced by law. Okay, now, these Christians were calling in, and Mike was pointing out where he would differ with the Christian view on the Amish school murders. And they were talking about forgiveness, all the people who had already forgiven this murderer, and then also that this was God's will. And what we have in this, not only this tragedy, but so many others like it, is that when Christians misrepresent God and they misrepresent the teaching of the Bible, then they become a stumbling block, a stumbling stone for others to consider Jesus Christ. In the Bible, there are thousands of years of history in the Bible, and the godly people in the Bible, in the Old Testament, the godly patriarchs and the prophets and the priest and the kings, not all the kings, not all the priests, because there are a lot of evil priests and prophets, but the godly ones, they didn't forgive everybody. In fact, they held grudges, and sometimes they'd execute people who had done wrong. You get into the New Testament, and you have Jesus, who is our Savior, our Creator, and our Savior. He didn't forgive everybody. He was pretty harsh on people, lashing out at them, especially when their sin would directly harm other people. That's especially when the Lord would get angry. And you have the apostles. The apostles didn't forgive everybody. The apostle Paul was pretty mad at people now and then, including Peter. Paul was pretty angry with Peter in Galatians chapter 2. In fact, he called him a hypocrite to his face and said he was to be blamed for misrepresenting the gospel. That's pretty harsh. Now, most Christians tend to overlook such passages, but we shouldn't, of course. And in the plot, the overview of the Bible that I've written, that manuscript that's kept us on the air for so many years, it gives you an overview of the whole Bible so that we could better understand the details. In the plot, we look at that conflict, the tension between Paul and Peter. In fact, it was between Paul and the 12 apostles generally, and it was always resolved in Paul's favor time after time. And there's a reason for all that conflict, but most Christians just, they have nowhere to fit it into their theology, so they pretend or they just don't see it in the New Testament. They completely overlook it. But anyway, Paul didn't automatically forgive everybody. He was pretty ticked off at Alexander the coppersmith. And he would ask God to repay him according to his works, not ask for forgiveness. And then there are the people who are believers in God, who love God, and they've been murdered, and they're up in heaven. And what is their attitude toward the people who murdered them? What is their attitude toward those people? Well, when you ask Christians, and I've asked Christians this question for many years, I've asked, if a believer is in heaven because they've been murdered, they're in heaven because they've been murdered, what is their attitude toward the one who murdered them? Is it an attitude of forgiveness? Is that their attitude? Or would they want their murderers to be punished? Which is it? And it turns out that they would want their murderers to be punished. Now, how do we know that? Because the book of Revelation tells us that. In the book of Revelation, we read about people who have been martyred for their faith. They've been killed for their faith, and they cry out to God. They cry out, "How long, O Lord? How long, O Lord, until you bring vengeance against those on earth?" How long? They want to know. They want to know how long until God will punish the people on earth who murdered them. Now, that's the opposite of what a lot of Christians would think. Because a lot of Christians think that vengeance is somehow ungodly or unspiritual. But God is a God of vengeance. If you hurt his children, you're going to be punished. If you don't repent, you're really in big, serious trouble. So this attitude that the only godliness is forgiveness and everything else is wrong is unbiblical. And there are a lot of unbelievers who could see through that as self-righteousness. It's self-righteousness. It's the lust of the flesh. It's, I want to be, now they wouldn't say this consciously, but I want to be holier than thou. I want to show how righteous, how holy I am, and therefore I forgive every murderer instantly. Hey, it's no sweat off my back anyway. What's the big deal? So churches by the thousands teach that you have to forgive the murderer who killed the Amish young girls in this one-room schoolhouse. He killed all those young girls, and now you got to forgive him. You automatically got to forgive him. Well, he's a murderer. Oh, you can't judge. You can't judge him. You got to forgive him. Okay, so let somebody come to their church, and when the collection plate goes around, instead of putting money in, let them take money out. Put it in their pocket. And we'll see whether or not there's judgment happening at that church. They're going to judge that guy for stealing. And we'll see whether or not they forgive the guy. Let's say the next week comes along and he tries to take money out of the collection plate again. We'll see whether or not they're going to forgive and not judge the thief. See, when it's some skin off your own back, then it's different than when it's other people who were harmed or murdered. That's one aspect of it. But overall, it's just flat out false teaching, because Jesus Christ said, Luke 17:3, speaking of someone who sins against you, if he sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. If he repents. So a murder, suicide, the murderer doesn't repent. The murderer is killing himself because he thinks that's his escape plan. That's his way of committing the crime, and no, nobody could touch me now. Nobody could punish me. Nobody could get me because I'm gone. I'm out of here. So they think they're escaping the judge by killing themselves. They don't realize, partly because of all the bad teaching in our culture and even in our churches, they don't realize that they are leaving this life and they're fleeing right into the hands of the judge of the whole earth. the judge of the whole world. That's what they're doing. And they're in big, big trouble, these murderers. They think they're escaping judgment, and they go into God's hands, and God is angry at them. And they will be punished. So they didn't escape anything, but they thought they were escaping something. All right. Now, so that's one issue. The false teaching regarding forgiveness. Jesus said, if he repents, forgive him. Otherwise, you misrepresent God, and you imply that forgiveness is automatic and repentance is unnecessary. And that's why millions end up going to hell, because millions of Americans who believe in God, they believe that God is all forgiving and that forgiveness is automatic. Remember Jesse Ventura, a wrestler who became the governor of Minnesota? And was it Minnesota? Jesse Ventura was the governor of Minnesota or Michigan. And he insulted Christians as being uneducated, fools. And then he was confronted on it, and he said, well, I don't have to ask for forgiveness. They automatically forgive everybody. What a good point. Okay. And then Mike Rosen, they touched on the issue of, is everything God's will? We'll talk about that in a moment. First, let's go to the phones in Roxborough, Colorado. Jalen, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hey, Bob.
How old are you, Jalen?
I am 10. I'm going to be 11 in January.
10 years old. It's an honor to take a call from you. Tell me, what's on your mind? What's up?
I count stupid of people to forgive other people because you're saying that they did something wrong, so you're judging them in a way.
Whoa. What a good point. In other words, the people who say you got to forgive everyone, though, they are the same people who say you can't judge.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But if you can't judge, then you can't forgive either. Because before you forgive someone, you have to judge that they've done something wrong.
Exactly.
So you're pointing out that they're contradictory when they forgive everyone and they say you can't judge.
Yeah.
Very right on, Jalen. Right on.
And it's also done to make laws. Because if somebody breaks one, then they go to court, of course. And that's why we have a judge to judge them on whether it was something bad they did.
What a good.
If their sentence is long or something.
What a good point, Jalen. So if we were to follow the common Christian cliche that you can't judge, well, then that would mean that no Christian should be a judge. Only people who hate God should be judges. But, of course, that's ridiculous because the Bible points out that when evil people are in authority, then the people mourn. But when the righteous rule, the people rejoice. So, of course, being a judge, in the Bible, there's the book of Judges. And the judges, yeah, they weren't the bad people. They're the good people. All right, very good, Jalen. Anything else?
No.
All right, great, great call. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Welcome.
May God bless you. I appreciate that. And, of course, Christians have adopted Hillary Clinton's favorite Bible verse when they say, don't judge, judge not. But Jesus went on to say, judge not, you hypocrite. If you are committing the same sin as your neighbor, don't go to your neighbor. First, repent of the sin yourself. Then you can see clearly enough to judge your neighbor. So if you're both selling drugs to kids on a playground, then don't condemn your neighbor. First, deal with your own sin. Then you go to your neighbor and you say, don't do that. It's wrong. You're wrong. You're in big trouble. So, but Christians have truncated the Lord's teaching to the Hillary Clinton length of two words, judge not, where Jesus in that little paragraph in Matthew 7, in that little short paragraph on judging, Jesus said, you hypocrite. Don't judge, you hypocrite. If you're doing the same thing as your neighbor, first repent of what you're doing, then you could see clearly enough to judge your neighbor. That's what the Lord taught in Matthew 7. In Paul's epistle to the Corinthians, he said, "He who is spiritual judges all things, for we have the mind of Christ." And he said, "I'm ashamed of you because you're not judging the least little things. Do you not know that we will judge the angels? Do you not know that we will judge the world? So get your act together and start judging." That's the teaching of the Bible. If you can't judge, you know, I've noticed people who teach you can't judge, they get pretty angry at me in this ministry. What's with that? So somebody will come up to me, and after many years, we've gotten used to this. They teach you got to forgive everyone, you can't judge, and they're so bitter and angry at me because of our ministry. It makes them uncomfortable. So I say to them, "Well, don't sweat it. I know you won't judge me, and you've already forgiven me, so we could just be friends. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. You're the last person I have to be concerned about because you don't judge and you forgive everyone." All right. So, and then Mike Rosen said he just doesn't buy that when a criminal murders a bunch of young girls, that was God's will. And of course, it's not. And that is blasphemous for people to say that, for people who say everything that happens, God orchestrated it, God ordained everything that happens. A drunk driver kills a dad of 3 or 4 kids. That was God's will. Or somebody creates a child pornography video. They kidnap a child. They videotape themselves sodomizing the child. And somebody says, some Christian, the typical Christian textbook will say that everything that happens is God's will. Oh, it is? That was God's will? That was filthy and perverse. And God doesn't tempt people with evil. God doesn't do that. And God is not the author of confusion, as the Bible says. And God tempts no one with evil, as the Bible says. So clearly, people are tempted with evil. Clearly, there is confusion in the world. And so when you go to make God the architect of the child porn industry, when you think, because you've been taught badly at your church, that God, in eternity past, God conceived of the child porn industry, and he decided which kids would be brutalized, would be raped and videotaped for perverts to sell the videotapes and upload them on the internet. And you think God conceived of all that. And for all of eternity future, those videotapes will be running in God's mind. Because to God, every day is the same, every day is alike. It's all now. So God is watching the child pornographer make his pornography right at this moment. And for eternity past and eternity future, God's watching them make that video. That's sick. That's just sick. It wasn't God's idea. You know, in the Bible, when they were killing their kids and sacrificing them, putting them on the altar to Baal, burning them alive to Molech, God said, "It never entered my mind that you would do such a wicked thing." That's twice in the Bible. God said, "It never entered my mind to command such a thing." Because some people think everything that happens, happens as a command from the mind of God. "It never entered my mind to command such a thing. It never entered my mind that you would do such a wicked, filthy, horrendous thing." God is at war against the wicked. God is not on both sides of the war between good and evil. So this guy who murdered these Amish girls, these young girls, you know, he grew up in our perverse culture and with our corrupt Christian teaching. He grew up with the Christian teaching that everything that happens is God's will. So when his baby girl died, newborn baby girl 4 years ago, he figures God did it. And he's been angry at God for that. And then undoubtedly, he was raised with pornography in his environment. because we have this new thing with kids raping other kids. That's a new thing. And for him, you know, 15, 20 years later to be upset about a sexual assault on some young girls that he said were relatives, you know, that's a clear sign that he was raised in an environment that had pornography. That's how young kids begin to sexually assault other kids. That's quite a step. You don't take that step in one little step. You get trained to sexually assault other people, and pornography does that. So he grew up in our porn-saturated, over-sexually charged society, and whatever he got from the church was that everything that happened was God's will. So when he molested those two girls that he claimed he did, that was God's will. Isn't that pretty sick? When his newborn baby daughter, his newborn daughter died 4 years ago, that was God's will. So he said he hated God. You know, we are responsible when we misrepresent God. We are responsible. Let's go to the phone in Aurora, Colorado. Keisha, welcome to Bubba Neert Live.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just, like, in the Bible, doesn't it say that God works all things together for good? And
yeah. Yeah, and it all, Keisha, when you read the Bible, if you take anything it says to an extreme and you don't pay attention to the way God uses words, then you could really misrepresent God. For example, the Bible says that all of Judea went to John the Baptist to be baptized. I don't know if you could recall that one particular verse, that all of Judea went to John the Baptist to be baptized. Now, do you think that every last person in Judea went to John to be baptized?
Probably not.
No. The majority did not go to John. In fact, Jesus' disciples, they baptized more people than John the Baptist did. The Gospel of John says that explicitly. So, all is typically a figure of speech. All is a figure of speech. And I could read to you dozens of verses. If you just take a concordance and look up all and start going to all the verses that say all, you'll quickly see that the word all typically means all or many or much. Like in Colossians chapter 1, Paul says, the gospel has come to you in the city of Colossae, as it has in all the world. Well, people in Brazil in the first century hadn't heard about Jesus Christ being resurrected from the dead. So Paul didn't mean that the gospel went to all the world. He meant it went to much of the Roman Empire. And so God works all things for good to those who love God. If you love God, God will work in your life so that you will be blessed. And you will be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean if a man hates God, he kidnaps a child, rapes the child, and the man dies and goes to hell, that God is going to work that for good. It doesn't mean that. That is an extreme twisting of what the Bible says. Do you have a question?
I'll
give you an example. In Matthew 28, verse 11, the guard came to the chief priest and reported all the things that had happened. Now, did he report everything? Because that's the same word as you find in Romans 8. Did he report everything that happened or just some of the things? Of course, he only reported some of the things. And the word all, when we use the word all, like they reelected Bill Clinton because all the country went insane. Now, we would say that in normal conversation. When we use all, we typically don't mean all without exception. Now, sometimes we do, but usually you have to clarify it to say that you mean all without exception. Usually we mean much or many or most. Sometimes we only mean some or a few when we say all, and the same thing is true in the Bible.
Okay.
So if someone is inclined to think that God created a child pornography book, if somebody's inclined to think that, then where the Bible says God created all things, they'll say, look, he created the child pornography industry. But if someone knows that God is good and loving and that he hates sexual filth and perversion, then when the Bible says God created all things, like Revelation 4:11, they would say, yeah, that means he created Adam and Eve and the angels and the universe and the earth and all the atoms and molecules. But then what we do with it, if we use God's creation to create the child porn industry, God didn't create that. That's not what that verse means. So you have to be predetermined to believe that God is the author of filth and perversion in order to twist the Bible to mean that. And so we need to correct one another and remind one another that God is good, he's holy, and he's righteous, and he hates wickedness. He's not the author of filth and perversion. All right, Keisha?
Okay.
Hey, I appreciate your call.
Thanks.
God bless you. So we are out of time, but we have a Bible study on this. It's called Predestination and Free Will. We have it. Wow. It's one of our most popular resources for many years. And I think you'll love it. Just Predestination and Free Will. You could call us up or go to KGOV.com and click on the audio tab of our store. Maranatha Christian Center, the best Christian school I've ever seen. Check them out, Maranatha.